Jack Pitella here. Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. Jill is on a short vacation, having fun with her family in Seattle. And I chose to take advantage of a special situation today and interview my little sister, Ann Porter, from Northern Michigan, who we've talked about constantly on the show over the last couple of years. And touted her as a successful real estate agent. So I'd like to find out if she really is. This is entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Pitella with my little sister Ann from Southern California, and today we're going to be talking about being a successful real estate agent. What's it take, Ann, and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What's it take to be a real estate agent? A good one. And more importantly, why does so many suck?
It's two big questions there.
And you don't get to do this twice. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Communication. That's the key.
Communication.
Communication.
Give us an example.
Well, people like to hear what's going on. If you got their house listed, they want to know what's going on.
Communication. Answer your phone. That's what we've been saying for years, Jill and I.
That's a huge
thing. Why don't real estate agents answer their phone?
They're afraid.
They're afraid of what?
Of the communication. I'm not doing enough.
So they think they're not good at it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe their confidence is not there. Maybe they're not doing enough.
All right, so is the system broken? We talk about how the system's just broken all the time.
I think the people that are involved in the system are broken. That's what I think. I think if you're good at what you do, then the system's not broken. It can be used
just
appropriately.
Like anything. Just like anything. You got to use the tools that you have.
That's right. You use them to the best advantage. We got a boatload of tools out there that can be used.
Like what?
But nobody takes advantage of them.
Oh, like this is great stuff. So like what? What kind of tools do you have that people are underutilizing, you think? Like a cell phone?
Like a cell phone. Ways to communicate. Texting, email, ways to communicate, ways to show that you're actually doing something, ways to enhance what your value is to a seller or a buyer.
So what is the value that you bring? Because I know you're super successful. I think you said earlier in the vacation, you're like top 5%, right, in the country?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what is it?
Coldwell Banker.
Everybody listening wants to know why. What is it about you? You know, what can you, could you teach a class on it?
I could teach a class on it, sure.
What would the class be?
The class would be to show what your value is to your clients. And people have no idea what's involved in a real estate transaction. So I bring that to them.
Oh, really? You educate them.
I educate them. And I go through the process with them so they don't ever have to do it again if they don't want to. They don't have to learn. They don't have to do anything. So I'm there to do it for them.
So
I solve the problem before they even know they have a problem.
We said earlier that you and I are in the same business, exactly the same business. We just go about it completely differently.
Mm-hmm.
And we educate people too.
Yeah.
We educate our sellers a lot too. When we buy a house or a piece of property from somebody, they have no idea. That never transferred into my head for some reason. I figured that somebody calls real estate agent, they want to sell their house for whatever reason, they're kind of new, they know what they're getting into. They know the process because they bought the house.
Sure. People don't remember. It's like having a baby. You do it, you're done, you move on. You don't remember.
My sister's nickname is Hula, so I'm going to call her that. Like having a baby.
It's like having a baby. You do it once and you move on and you don't want to think about it anymore. And that's where I come in. You don't have to think about it anymore. I will do it for you.
You know, you're right. I don't want to think about having a baby anymore ever. You're right.
And you didn't even actually physically have the baby.
I know. So I was, you know, we all bought a first house and we all bought that first piece of real estate. You know, did you always know you wanted to do this?
No.
What happened?
I was in a job that I hated.
Good, because that's our listening audience. So walk us through the process.
Well, in Michigan, the process is a 40-hour class, and then you pass a test and your license.
No, walk us through your personal story of the job you hated.
I was recruiting engineers for a company that wasn't good at it, that I didn't believe in, that I felt was not doing what they could do.
Like a headhunter.
Yeah, well, kind of. But
you know,
I was on the sales
avoids,
end.
Avoids talking to engineers at all anyway.
Right.
They have screws loose.
They're detailed people.
Yeah,
not screws loose.
That's what I mean. Anyway, go ahead.
So I didn't like this job. I wanted out. And I was the sales end. I was the person that went to the company and said, what do you need? And they said, we need an engineer that has these skills. So I went back and somebody else found the engineer. I did the sales. Why we get them to use my company? But I didn't like the way the company was run, so I didn't believe in it.
So that's what I find too. It's not so much that you didn't like the job or what the job involved. It's just the other people that worked there, specifically the person above you.
Yeah, that makes a big difference. That's for sure. If you don't have the same philosophy or the same views, then it makes it really difficult.
Or were they dishonest?
No, I don't feel like they were dishonest. Just been poorly run. That's all. It's just poorly run.
Right. People say that about where they work for us too.
Yeah, you want to get out. And this offered me a way to get out, and I could work as hard or as not as hard as I want and make the success as best as I could or sleep in, whatever. It was my choice, and I liked having the ability to make my own way.
You know, that's exactly why, you know, I did the first land real estate deal in 1999, and I was hooked immediately. Like, I knew that, I said, whatever it takes, I'm going to do this, because if I can do it once or twice like I did, and I doubled my money, I said, then I can do this, you know, tens of thousands of times, which is where we are now.
Sure.
I don't care what it takes.
Right.
I'm going to do it.
Yep.
And it's not so much the money and all that stuff. That's all good. I just didn't want to work for anybody else anymore. I would be happy to work for myself and make $2,000 or $3,000 a month and forget it.
Right. Yeah.
Over making millions of dollars a month and just working for somebody where it just sucks to get up.
That's the key right there. Being content is the key. And if you're willing to put the work in to make yourself content sooner or later, it's so worth it.
All right. So what is it really? So communication is obviously incredibly important.
Yep.
And then follow up and follow through. And so you mentioned.
Well, and do what you say.
Right. So it's just grassroots basic stuff.
Under promise, over deliver.
You know, somebody sent me a t-shirt recently called Captain Obvious. They call me Captain Obvious. And you're being Mrs. Obvious, you know, first made obvious here.
But people don't do it. That's why they have stupid real estate agents.
When I was younger, people would say stuff like that. Like, really, you got to answer your phone. And I would just roll my eyes and say, really, that's your advice? Answer your phone. Then you get a little older and it's like you find out nobody's answering their phone at all.
Nope. Total avoidance. Can't do business avoiding it.
So people aren't answering their phone when their clients call after they get a listing because they haven't really been doing anything.
Right. They can't justify their fee. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They promised something that they haven't done.
So the system's broken.
The agent's broken.
Okay. Well,
the bad agent is broken.
Should the agent get more training? I mean, what's the answer for a regular person who wants to be a real estate agent?
Training would help, but I think either you have it or you don't.
That's what I think, Hula. You either get into this thing and you're passionate about it. You have to have, in real estate, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, and it's also my show, so my opinion matters. You know, you have to come at it from some angle. I think that I've dealt with real estate agents who do really, really well at foreclosure / short sales with banks.
Sure.
They can talk to a bank for some reason.
Yep.
Right? I've never been able to do it.
And they know the process.
We purchased a lot of property like that. During the downturn, we bought houses and land from banks. But I had one agent. Her name was Anita in Arizona. And she did great for us. Mm-hmm. She earned her fee. Mm-hmm. Hands down, probably more than earned her fee on the buy side. So, and the banks were paying her, so it was great. But she was always more than negotiated a deal that made up for her fee. Because she knew that was important to me.
Yeah. Well, she probably had fun doing it, too.
Yeah.
She probably enjoyed it. She had fun doing it. She had the lingo. She knew what she was doing. She knew who to talk to.
And she had the contacts.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing about... That's where I think real estate agents have gone sideways. That not agents, but the business has gone sideways. Because we talk about this on the show. I'm sure you don't listen to our show.
Right? I don't listen to your show.
Good, thank you. This is easier now. I think that a long time ago, long before there was probably even a licensing process required, somebody would sit in a tavern somewhere and say, you know, I'm thinking about selling my property. And the guy that they're sitting next to knows everybody in town, knows how to get stuff done, maybe knows a lender, somebody. Oh, you know, John over here was thinking about buying a piece of property.
Yep.
That's the value.
Networking.
And that's huge value.
All
I'll pay
networking.
For that all day.
Yep.
What I won't pay for is somebody that's got too much makeup on, driving a BMW that doesn't really run right, inputting my stuff in the MLS and just waiting to see what's going to happen for 6% of the deal.
And not answering their phone.
So That's where I'm coming from on the whole thing. Mm-hmm.
Totally agree with you. And those, there are plenty of those people out there that get their license because all they want to do is see houses.
See houses?
See houses. That's all they want to do. I like people and I like to look at houses. That's why I want to become a real estate agent.
What does that mean, I like to look at houses? Like, I like to look at the wallpaper in houses?
Yeah, well,
that's what I think.
Wallpaper's out, so don't wallpaper your house.
HGTV is not doing anybody any favors.
Nope.
It's not total at all. Malarkey.
Totally.
And fiction.
Yep. It is 100%.
Do you notice how they stopped running the numbers on HGTV? They used to in the beginning, like, hey, we bought this house for $622,000 and we put $89,000 into it and we sold it for $990,000. I bet some lawyers got a hold of that and said, you know, it's pretty easy to look this up and see you guys didn't do this. Or, you know, stop that. Just, you guys are entertaining and you look good, but don't do any more math.
No more math.
So earlier you referred to these tools that are underutilized and that no one knows about. What are these tools?
Well, I think tools that make communication easier. How many showings your house has gotten, how many views it's gotten, just better ways to communicate. Tools that, networking tools, and some of it's not even like an internet-based tool. Some of it's just being out there, talking to other agents, being out there, talking to other people. We're technically brokers, so we're supposed to be brokering a deal. That doesn't mean just throwing in the MLS is brokering something. It mm-hmm. means that you gotta push it, put it out there, do the right thing, and help. There's a whole list of things that I ask sellers to do, and those are the tools.
Share.
Like
us,
clean your house, okay. Put away your stuff.
Do some of them think the agent's supposed to do that?
I think some of them think that the agent stages houses, yeah. Okay. And I don't stage houses. I give recommendations how to stage houses. I give them names of stagers, but I don't do it.
I'm a big fan of staging.
Yeah, staging makes all the difference in the world. Anybody out there that's thinking about selling their house, follow the staging instructions.
Well, on this regular show, we tell them not to get an agent at all. Just do it yourself.
Great. So happy to be here.
It's roasted Asian hour with Jack, not Jill.
I will not be roasted.
No. This is not an agent to roast. Plus, you're my little sister because I'll defend you.
Thanks.
So what else do you tell agents to do? Clean your house, possibly stage it.
Sellers, tell it what I tell sellers to do. Stage it, clean it. Do those HGTV shows actually help in this regard? Because when you look at a house and it's all simple and plain, that's what you want. So you can use HGTV for that, for the setup and the staging. Yeah. And leave, pretend there's no dog there if you have a dog. You know, it's all visual. All visual.
Jill's a big fan of taking all the pictures out of the house, like, because you want the new person walking through to see themselves in there, not the old stinky people.
100% agree. You need to take everything personal out, because otherwise a buyer can't envision themselves in a house if it's all you. Mm-hmm. You need to take it out so they can envision their family there and not your family.
Do they listen?
Most people.
Do they listen because you know what you're doing now? Or because you say, look, you sit them down and hold their hand and say, listen, I can get this thing done, but you got to help me.
Yeah, that's the communication. Mm-hmm. That's the communication right there. You have to say, this is what needs to get done. If you want to sell the house, what's your goal? So is your goal to sell the house? This is how you do it.
Here's my big question. How much does price matter to a seller? Are you there to maximize price?
Absolutely. 100%. And price usually matters. It depends. Again, you have to ask what the goal is. Is the goal, I want to sell it by tomorrow? Okay. Well, yeah, that price is going to be a lot lower than if the goal is I want to sell by next year. Totally different way to go about things.
And so do you get the calculator out right at that point and say, okay, great. I know you guys want $350 for the house, but
no.
At $320, we can get this thing done next week.
Oh, you could totally do that, but I never go off of what the seller wants. The market will bear.
So you
doesn't
say,
matter
look,
what the
I
seller
you,
wants.
I know you want $350,
right.
And that's a beautiful bargain.
Yeah, but
$327 is how this is going
to
go down.
Yeah, or if you want $350, this is what you need to do to get $350. Uh-huh. You have to whole house repainted. You need to put wood floors in.
Nobody wants to do that.
Well, yeah, some people do. Some people don't. Just depends on their time and what they want to invest in it.
Does it ever totally backfire on you?
Once in a while, not very often. I have a good idea what the market will bear and what people will pay for.
So how do you come up with that number? This is personally now I'm asking you because this is all I do. I spend hours and hours every week pricing mailers to send to sellers to just high enough, but just low enough so I can make some money, just high enough so they sign it.
Sure. Yeah.
So what?
I know what the market will bear, where it is, what the size
so
of the house
drive
is.
Drive around Traverse City, Michigan. And you can say that house is worth $380. That house is worth $422.
Yep.
And that piece of property right on the water is probably worth 1.1 right now.
100%.
That's amazing.
Well, you get inside, and if it's trashed, you might be a little wrong, but you have a really, 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 really good idea.
I only look at spreadsheets of data.
Yeah, see, that's
and
so
I price
not
it
for
that
me.
Way.
Uh-uh. No, and that's what
right.
Zillow does, and that's why Zillow's wrong. It's an algorithm.
I agree, Zillow's wrong. Zillow and Trulia, I have a lot of work to do. Huge fan of Redfin. Huge fan. They've taken it to the next step. But I believe that their algorithms are antiquated and don't adjust for things that you're talking about, like market conditions and things like that. They only really look at completed sales values and some other stuff.
Yeah, they factor in a whole bunch of stuff that isn't right. That doesn't take into consideration, because if one house is staged and then the other one's not, that could be the exact same house, but the staged one's going to sell quicker and for more money.
Right. You know, we do the same thing. I go approach it completely differently.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a person that doesn't, because all our sellers, they don't ever talk about money. If they do, we just say, you know, this is the price that we're offering.
Right.
It's written there and sign it, please. Otherwise, it's just probably not going to work out.
That's not your seller. That's not who you're looking for. It's somebody that's going to be negotiating the money.
The people, the sellers that work with that work really, really, really well are the ones who just say, thank you so much for sending this letter. Your timing's perfect. My Aunt Sue is XYZ. And I'd love to close next week if you can.
There you go. That's it.
Please let me know what to do next. That's mm-hmm. the biggest question we got.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. It's a different game entirely.
Right. You're after a different market. You're after a different seller. There's nothing wrong with either one of them.
Is there a big season in selling a house? Like seasonal, like springtime is good and winter's bad?
In Michigan, there is. Nobody wants to look at a house when it's 6 degrees and there's snow on the roof and you can't see it. You can't tell if the driveway's paved, all that stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. So
we say frozen. Frozen pipes.
We say Thanksgiving to Super Bowl is the downtime.
Thanksgiving to Super Bowl.
Thanksgiving to Super Bowl. Then people start to thinking about it. The sun might shine for a day.
November to February.
Yep.
I've been saying that for years. Real estate market stops during the holiday season and picks up in around February.
Mm-hmm. If you're looking during the holiday season, you really want to move, or you've been relocated or something. There's a reason. Because people have other stuff going on. They're traveling. There's Christmas trees in a house, which make it look smaller.
Oh, all these tricks.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Is it better to have a furniture in there or vacant?
Oh, never sell a vacant house. Nope.
Really?
No, people can't imagine anything. They have no imagination.
I'm in this business and actually I'm doing pretty good. And
they have no imagination. You got to show them where the living room gets set up, where the dining room gets set up. They can imagine where their family's going to eat dinner. If there's no furniture in there, they don't know where to put anything.
When I go look at a house, whenever I do, and it's not very often, maybe you're driving around on Sunday and you pull over and you say, I just want to take a look. Actually, we did that this weekend.
Yep.
The first thing I do, the very first thing I do is look at which walls I can take out to make it bigger.
You are the exception. Most people have no imagination. They will not do that. They want it exactly the way that it is.
They just want to turn the key.
They just want to walk in and put their own couch right where the other one was.
Wow.
Yep.
That totally makes sense when you think about it. You know, Jill's not like that at all. Jill's really got a lot of imagination.
Yeah, imagination is good. It can save you a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
If you can think about where your own couch goes.
Maybe that's the difference between a real estate professional and just a real estate consumer is imagination. I like
it. Definitely. If you can open somebody's eyes to, well, this is the way this could be. You wanted this. This is how it could happen that way. Look how much money we could save if you did it just did this.
So everybody loves stories. Tell us a good story. And maybe a not so good story, like a good story about dealing with a seller, or I would love to hear a really bad rancid story about an awful real estate agent and how they destroyed someone's life. That's my first choice, but you choose.
Wow. I don't know about destroying lives.
We're talking about
real estates are their own worst enemy, though. They can kill a deal faster than anybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to have you on the show more often. You're the proof.
My philosophy is your client doesn't need to know that there's a problem until you have a solution for it. And quite often, I think the exact opposite happens out there.
So give me an example, please.
Somebody has a big issue with a house. An inspection came back bad or something. And then all of a sudden, the real estate agent calls the seller and says, oh my gosh, we have this really big problem.
Preventing.
Yeah. And it's all you need to do is solve the problem before you make the phone call. Hey, here's the deal. The inspection came back. This is what's happening, but here's how we can solve it. Here's how we can get through this together. Are you with me? That's the thing. And people just love drama. So what they do is they get all dramatic and they go into this, got this big problem. And instead, all they need to do is solve the problem before you say it. Solve the problem before you tell your client that there's even a problem.
That's good marriage advice, too. You should never really get back to your spouse if you haven't solved it already.
Well, maybe that'll be my next career.
I call it emotional flooding. Like, you don't ever want to do that in front of somebody.
No.
However you do that, because everybody's got to do
phrase.
It.
Emotional flooding.
Men do
flooding.
It, too. Men do it. You don't know about it because they just go do it in a closet somewhere, and then they come back out and figure it out. Seriously. Women don't know this.
We're looking at a lot of secrets today.
So give us an example of the other side, flip side of a real story where it just worked out like you're getting a gift basket at the end of it as an agent.
Well, a good story about a gift basket at the end of it.
Well, so you really helped somebody out. You know, helped them out of a jam and really, really shined as what you do as a real estate pro.
Yeah, I had an issue with a house that I sold that in the disclosure stated that the roof had a lifetime warranty and couldn't produce it. They couldn't produce the lifetime warranty. Just whatever. They said they had it, didn't know where it was, couldn't produce it in writing, nothing transferred over, whatever. And I called around, found permits, all this kind of stuff, and it worked out in the end. It didn't work out great, worked out in the end, but it was difficult. But those people were somewhat happy at the end that we solved the problem and figured it out. But there's issues like that that you just have to go out of your way to solve. That's the thing. Above and beyond.
So
is the key.
In this case, was there a warranty?
There was a warranty. We couldn't find it.
You didn't find it?
Nope.
Who puts a lifetime warranty on a roof? Roofs wear out.
Yeah, this was a commercial roof on a residential house.
Like a flat roof?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Gel on its
own. Yep, that's exactly it. But that's one of those things where if you don't have something to back it up, don't put it there in the first place.
I always thought on that disclosure page, you just say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, all the way down.
You can do that.
That's what I do.
Okay. Well, you probably don't know, though. You can't say you don't know if you know.
Oh, I think you can.
Okay, that might come back to bite you.
A long time ago, somebody said, just say, I don't know. And it stuck with me.
Okay. Was that an attorney?
No, it was actually a real estate agent, now that I'm thinking about it. Just say, I don't know, and then nothing bad will happen.
Well, if you don't know.
And so, how about a really bad story, like, not with you specifically, or as if there is even one, but like how a real estate agent is really just making somebody's life a big mess and getting in the way of closing a deal. Because Jill and I talk about that all the time. Like, a lot of times, real estate agents are the ones who are stopping the deal from getting closed. They're getting in the way.
Yeah, sure. They're getting in the way because I know I keep going back to this, but because they're not solving the problem before you even get to the problem. You have to preempt everything. If you preempt stuff, there's no trouble. If you know this is going to be a problem, then you just kind of figure out the way to make it not a problem.
So I know you have a educational psychology background.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's puts you at an advantage?
100%. Yep. I have an industrial and organizational psychology from good old Michigan State University. And 100% that helps me all the time. Be patient, figure out people's personalities and know how to deal with them. Because there's different personalities. And if you don't see what the personality is of your client and match that and be able to have some communication, then you can't do it.
What Jill and I talk about all the time is you have to meet people from where they're coming. And you could be staring at two people in the exact same situation, and one's got a whole different perception about what's happening versus the other, and you got to handle it differently, like night and day different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're sort of saying the same thing. I just
100%.
Like to put nifty little labels on stuff like, meet people from where they come. That's the show. My whole family's so sick of me hearing saying that. Hey, wait, stop, hold on. I got to write this down. That's a show. Great dad.
It's true.
That's great dad. We'll see you next week.
A lot of great ideas out there. Keep it up. It's great.
Well, you've done it again. You spent another, I don't know, 25 minutes or so listening to the Jack and Jill show without Jill, with my little sister Hula instead.
Woohoo.
Join us tomorrow where we discuss, would you buy it or would you not buy it? You are not alone in your real estate ambition. This is the part of the show, and we actually air it, where we just talk about what we just talked about. It's kind of like a blooper thing. So how'd it go? I know you're a little nervous. There's nothing to be nervous about, right? Just two people talking about stupid stuff.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
Can't wait to be done.
It went
with this
fine.
Program.
It went great.
You just want to go look at some California real estate. Thanks for being on, and I really appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
We are Jack and Jill. Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.